You're about to begin a new sugya, a major, major sugya, not only a significant gittin sugya, really a shah sugya. And that is the basic question of what the status of a shah is about. The whole notion of a document, which must play such a major role throughout the Masechta. What exactly the parameters of a shah, where did it come from, what can it do, what can't it do? So our Gemara begins, a sugya begins with the first of the Maamar Kamos, where the Gemara is now beginning to analyze Rava. I think we spent about 3 months analyzing Rava. We have Rava a little bit of time as well. So the Gemara begins the first. According to Rava, whose opinion is that we require before Nechtam because we're afraid that Eidim may not be around to identify the signatures in the future. The boy tray. Why do we suffice with one Shaliyah? Let's insist on two Eidim. The same way that regular kiyum shtaros, the issue of identifying signatures is not unique to gittin. It's all the time. I bring a document to the and it says, you owe me $1,000. Your initial response is, it's a forgery. So what do I do? How do I prove that the document is inauthentic? So I have to bring witnesses who can identify the signatures. It doesn't have to be those witnesses themselves. Those witnesses may not even be alive anymore. But I have to bring witnesses who could say, oh, we know those two signatures. Those are legitimate. Those are not forgeries. So comes Rav and says, just as regular kiyum shtaros requires two witnesses, which is not a great surprise, so too, the kiyum shtaros of b'farei nechtam should require two as well. So the Gemara goes down the route of what we spoke about in the past. Maybe Eidech and Embisur is going to help us. And the Gemara rejects that outright based on all the same reasons we rejected it before. So we're going to skip that part for now. Let's move on to the end of the third line from the top. The Gemara says, B'dinu to B'kim Shtaros Na'amil Ibon. That's the Gemara making sure that Din regular doesn't really require to lay them. Regular kiyum shtaros should not require two eidim. And why is that? Why is it that min haTorah to verify signatures doesn't require two eidim? Kidei Reish Lakish, based on the famous principle of Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish. Eidim achasumim achlashtar, nasu k'bishenechor edusim beveizdin. This may be the first time we heard it this year. Hopefully it's not going to be the last time. This is the cloud. This is the principle that's going to be the basic fundamental yisod of all of the chashtaros, Reish Lakish formulation. Eidim who sign on a document, it is as if they have been questioned and interrogated by Beis Din. The Eidus has been iskabel already. The Eidus is valid. Min haTorah, there is nothing that can disqualify a shtar. The other party can yell from today till tomorrow, the shtar is mezuyof. Not meaningful. Midaraisa, a shtar is valid. A shtar is as if it's already nechreidus of evasion, and therefore in the Torah there is no need for any kiyum shtaros. Now midirabbanon, Chazal said for whatever reason, and we'll talk about that as we go on, that we're going to insist on kiyum shtaros. But since we're the ones who insisted on kiyum shtaros, we're the ones who are lenient to say one eid is good enough. Why are we so lenient now to suffice with one aid? We should be good at Kilim Rabbanon. We don't want to make life too difficult for the world. If you notice, it's really an identical parallel to the flow of the sugya according to Rabbah from last sugya. According to Rabbah, we have the same question. Why is one aid suffice? So the real solution was to solve the problem in HaTorah. As we've said many times, deraisadika problems require deraisadika solutions. The rabbanadika problems and challenges suffice with the rabbanadika solutions. So as long as we thought that we needed two eidim, we didn't understand the Mishnah before Nechta. Now that we concluded in the previous sugya, according to Rabba, that two eidim aren't necessary anyway, according to Rabba, because he had the robe, that was the last sugya's. So we have the parallel sugya when it comes to robe as well. Min haTorah, you don't need any eidim whatsoever. Why? Like doing robes anymore. We're not talking about whether it's the Shabbat. That's not the issue, according to Rava. Simply because of a Shlokhish formulation, Eidim Achasulim Alashtar, Nasir, Kamish, and Nechwe Yusuf Eidim. It sounds like this is the Yusuf, this is the premise, and all of the Chashtaras is hinging on the truth of a Shlokhish's statement. The problem is that a Shlokhish's statement is so profoundly difficult. It is such a challenge. All the Rishonim, literally across the spectrum, have to deal with a problem in understanding Reish Lakish, because what Reish Lakish basically told us is that the Torah itself accepts the principle of Ishtar. this notion that I walk at the Beis Din, I don't have the Edim, I walk at the Beis Din with the document, we witness the sign on the bottom, I hand the piece of paper over to the Beis Din, and Beis Din says, look, we're going to collect your money, we're going to give you the field, we're going to pass it based on your document. That's a Torah concept. If you deny that, then the entire Gemara just flopped. So obviously, that's what Rishmaki is telling us, that that's a Torah concept. And why is that such a startling statement? What is wrong with that? After all, I have a document with two witnesses. What's the problem? So the problem is as follows. Take a look at the second of the Maramakobos. It's a Gemara that says, Gitna of Ayin Aleph of an Aleph. The Braisa says the Sanya, Imlo Yagid, Prat Le'ilem She Yochel Hagid. There was a series of psukim at the end of Parshas Vayikra about Shvuas Ha'edus. Shvuas Ha'edus means, I come to you and I say, actually, I come to two people and I say to them, I want you guys to come to Beis Din tomorrow to testify that Reuven broke my window. You guys were there. You saw Reuven breaking the window. And the Edom say, what are you talking about? We weren't there. We didn't know anything about it. And I say, who are you kidding? What do you mean? You were there. Of course you were there. And you deny it again, and you swear to that effect. You take a shrua that you weren't there, that you have nothing new, you don't know anything about that Edom. And now, well, nice to you alive. Well, nice to how you feel bad about it. So the Torah says, you did a terrible aver. The aver that you did is you were nishba, in the realm of Eidos, and there's a special korban that has to be brought for you. That's the pasuk in Parshas Vayikra. The Nevi'im said, who aid o shiva or im lo yagid v'nasa avuno. If you don't come forward and speak, you don't give the testimony, and you swore to the extent, to the effect that you don't know the testimony, you have to be mechap with a special korban shmos Eidos. So the Tosheva Peh comments on that phrase, im lo yagid. The Torah describes that the two Eidim are not coming forth to speak. Im lo yagid, prat le'ilem shen yoch lahagid. This is coming to exclude an ilem, somebody who is mute, somebody who cannot speak. Now, I didn't say he's a la bardas. He is a bardas. As long as he can hear, so he's not a cheirish technically. He is a bardas. He's chayv in all mitzvah Torah, but he obviously can't speak in Beis Din. Prat le'ilem shen yoch lahagid. So comes the Tosheva Peh and says, such a person does not bring a korban shvua. The reason is obvious. You bring a korban shvua when you're denying that you gave, that you could have been made if you could have been made. But if you couldn't have been made, let's say, for example, I go to my brother and I say, I insist that you come to Beis Din and you give testimony. My brother swears falsely that he doesn't know the testimony, even though he's swearing falsely, but that's the Shavuos Eidos, because he couldn't have testified anyway. So Shavuos Eidos is reserved for the person who could have been made, doesn't made it, and swears falsely to that effect. So the Braisa tells us that Elam is not in the parasha. Yes, the Gar Amai. Hayochel Hagim Tachaksav. What do you mean? Why isn't Elam excluded from being an aid? Let him walk the basin and write the story in the blackboard. Well, he could write. He's a bardas. So Amalei Abaye, Eidus Kamaras. Abaye said, come on, that's not a good question. Shani Eidus, Terachmanam V'Piyam V'Lo V'Piks of. Don't ask any questions about Eidus. There's a Gzeres that calls for Eidus. Eidus has to be a pish, I mean, P means pe means a mouth, not an exav. If you write a letter to Beis Din, if you write on the blackboard of it, that's not called the Haggadus Eidus. Haggadus Eidus has to be the Alper. It cannot be Bixav. So this is already the first challenge to the very institution of Shtars. Reish Lakish told us that Eidim Achasum al Shtar, when Eidim saw it on the document, the deal's over, it's a Dimin HaTorah, you don't need any Kiyim Shtaros, the guy can't say anything, the game's over, of course, Min HaTorah, we accepted Eidim Shem Shtar. As to be shown him, Min HaTorah, you accept the Eidim Shem Shtar, Min HaTorah, the Eidim Shem Shtar is not worth the paper that's written on. It's meaningless, it's worthless. It's a flagrant violation of this halacha of Shani Eidus, the PM below Big Sovah. So that's the first question that the Rishonim ask. Now, two to be told, this phrase, Bipiyam lo piksavim, in Chazal, appears here. This is the context that it appears in, somebody who cannot speak. But the truth is that the Gemara extends it a little bit in the third of the Mamakamos with the following discussion. Tana Rabbanan, Ksuba Stav Chafam Anal. Tana Rabbanan. Kosev Adam Eiduso al Ashtar, Umeida Lafil Yachakam Ashonim. A person saw Reuven break Shimon's window, and he realizes that he's not going to be able to get to Beis Din right away. He's got a ticket. He's out the door. He's getting onto a boat. He's not going to be back for a year. But he's not that he doesn't want to be made. You see, Pasha can't be made right now. On the other hand, he doesn't want to forget the story. So he wants to jot down, you know, it was Reuven, took a baseball bat, smashed the window, it was 3 o'clock. He wants to make sure, but when Beis Din interrogates him in a year from now, he'll remember the story. So he can do that. Kosev Adam Edus Val Ashtar, who made a left for that Hashanah, but then he can come back years later and testify based on what's written on the Shtar. So comes and says, not so fast. Amar Rav Huna, who she zochra me'atzmo. Rav Huna said, you can only testify based on what you wrote in your diary if you remember basically what happened. I mean, you don't remember every detail, but the basic gist, the basic story you remember. Otherwise, the halacha does not permit you to simply look in the little notes. That time, really, make your notes before the test. This is not a time to start reading your notes. You have to basically remember the story. If you need the notes just to give you one or two details, so that's okay. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Even if you don't remember it based on the story itself, that's also okay. So Rashi's quick to point out, the Lashon Rabbi Yochanan Afishen Zochu Yatzmo, El El Yachashua B'Shtar. It's not that you don't remember the story of the Gamrei. It's that when you look at your notes, knows and believe over Niskar, Shlodeshakech Menokol Kach, Yishemashkir and Lo Niskar. We know it all the time. If you look at the Sugya 10 years ago and you wrote up all these notes, and now if I stop you and I ask you, so tell me the Sugya now. 10 years ago, I can't remember. But then I look at the notes, wait a second, oh yeah, there wasn't Rashi, it was a Tosfos, right? Yeah. Well, Taka, I did say Shia about that. Yeah, I did. I do remember learning that Sugya one time. So that's okay, says Rabbi Yochanan. But if you have something that you don't remember at all, you take a look at something that you, and you go back to your algebra notes from ninth grade. What did I write then? Huh? That's no good, says Rashi. That would be a violation of Lopik Sovam. That's like the Elaine. That's like the fellow who has to, quote unquote, write down his Eidah. So these are actually two different applications of the same principle. In application number one, the person literally cannot speak. And the way that the Eidus is being presented is through the vehicle of writing, and that the Gemara disqualifies outright, the field of Sovam. In the second case, the Eidus is being presented, I mean, in theory, through the vehicle of speaking, but it's not really speaking. Speaking means I remember the story, and then I say what's on my mind. Here, I'm not saying what's on my mind. I don't even remember what's on my mind. This is 30 years ago. I'm reading what's written in my diary. So that's also a problem. Let's also go with Pia Lobik Sovam. So with Pia Lobik Sovam sweeps across any and every application, any and every usage of a writing vehicle that is not accepted in Beis Din. The only writing we'll accept is if the writing is used to help me, to coax me, to remember the details, then we can discuss the writing, but the writing is not the Hagodas Eidus. The other writing is not really serving as the vehicle of the Eidus. The Eidus is really about that. But if and when the writing is doing the whole trick, so that's disqualifying. So come the Rishonim and say, wait a second. So what's going with Shtaris? What does Rish Lakish mean? Amar Rish Lakish, Eidim Achasum al Ashtar, Min HaTorah, when I walk at the base with a document, the game's over. The game's over. The game didn't even start. What do you mean the game's over? What kind of an Eidus is that? If every shtar, by definition, is considered to be a Hagodas Eidus Mechsav, which the Torah itself describes. So there was a major machlekes, Rashi and Rav Netan, the grandfather and grandson, how to understand these two sugyas, these two applications that appear in the Lopik Sovam, which may open the door for understanding and getting a glimpse at how shtars are working. We take a look at the fourth of the Maamar Kavos. It's the sixth line from the bottom. First one in line is Shenech Grei Dusa. The Imri, the Shama Rabbeinu Tam. The Ri was the nephew of Rabbeinu Tam. The Ri grew up in Rabbeinu Tam's home. Rabbeinu Tam's sister was the Ri's mother. So the Imri, the Shama Rabbeinu Tam. The Ri said, I heard from Rabbeinu Tam, Shenogin Akshav Sheshochen Ha'edim Edus Miksav Yadol Leveizdin. That the practice of what they did him today, says the Ri in the name of his uncle, is that Eidim, they can't show up to Beis Din, no big deal, right? Write a postcard and stick it into the mail. Remember those days of a postcard? Remember when I was a kid, so you wrote postcards, right? A little 10 cents here from camp, you wrote a postcard. I said a couple of months ago by mistake, someone in their family went to the post office and they bought a thing of stamps. And they bought, it was postcard stamps by mistake. It's not going to work on a regular letter because they're less the amount to post it. So you got to put two posters. So I was trying to explain to my kids about a postcard. They had no idea. It wasn't even, they didn't even know what a postcard was. I said the concept of they didn't know what a letter was. Forget about a postcard. So in the old days, the Friedrich Gadeiris, you had a postcard. So says the Riyadir Minatav, people would write down their story. And Abe would be next town over. They want to schlep over the whole day trip. He'd send a postcard. I saw Reuven break Shimon's window on the Tuesday, and it seems like it was worth $1,000. Signed the aid number one, and Nacha Abe ran his own postcard. He sent them with the Pony Express. Days would open up the mail, showing a fish that made me up from the says a minute time, that was the practice. So comes the re and says, below, come to Beit Pilgrim Ksavim. That is not a violation of a Pilgrim Ksavim. What do you mean? It sounds to me like it's the worst kind of Pilgrim Ksavim. Says the re now. Because the Edom remember the Edom. The Edom could have come and testified about that if they would have wanted to. They were busy, they were lazy, they couldn't make it to that, but they could have. I've on the side of Mishnah, what do you do with the Gemara in Gittin? Imlo Yagi Pratli Elaim? She'ein Yochel Adaber? That the Elaim is not held responsible for Edom because they can't speak. Uporich, and the Gemara asked the question, he could write it down. And the Gemara answered, Shani Edom Chavano Pilo Miksavam. So what's the difference between the Elaim and sending a postcard for the next town? Says the read, what's the difference? All the difference in the world. Shiny Elaim Shein Roy Lahagin. That an Elaim cannot speak. An Elaim doesn't even have the possibility of speaking. Says a bit of time. But Medvah, when is there a disqualification of Mipiyav Lo Miksavam? That's the fellow who cannot speak if he wanted to speak. But the person who can speak, he would be able to speak. It's just that right now, he's in the next town over, he's in all of a business deal. That's just like he's spending the day traveling. He wants to simply jot down the words and send them by the courier. So comes the Rian, comes the Ben Adam, and says, that's fine. There's no source in Chazal to disqualify that. That is not what the Torah means when it says the PM Lo Miksavam. PM Lo Miksavam only applies when the person could not speak if he wanted to. If he could speak and just for whatever reason is not, that is perfectly legitimate in a Beis Din. Now, even though Tosfos doesn't address the second sugya, the sugya in Ksubas about the guy who forgot the Eidus, he addressed it a little bit by saying, Kevin Shezochere Dusan. What the Rebbeinu Tam, the remit with that line was that if you don't remember the whole story, and even after reading your notes, you don't remember the story, just to come to the Beis Din and open up your diary and read, that's like an Eidus. That's like somebody who could not speak based on their own testimony if they would have wanted to. So the Psul Hadom is, Eino Roy Lahagin. How does Eino Roy Lahagin manifest itself? One of two ways. Either physically, because biologically you have a medical issue that you cannot speak, or you have a memory issue. You can't remember the story. So that doesn't matter. Either way, if one of those two cases is an example of Eino Roy Lahagin. And those two cases would be disqualified in a Torah. But if you can remember the story, and you can physically speak, and you chose not to, that is not disqualified. That would be accepted as an Eidus. That's the famous sheet of Rebbeinu Tam. But now, Rebbeinu Tam has a little bit of explaining to do, because it seems to be a very, very strange formulation in halacha. It's almost like we turn to Torah Kedosh and say, Mimon Rashach. Is it important to speak the Eidus or not? Does the Torah really care that the person opens up his mouth and says the words, or is all that matters that we get the info? That's all that matters. It doesn't matter how it comes about. Does the Torah care about speaking or not? So if the Torah cares about speaking, so then how could you send your postcard? If the Torah doesn't care about speaking, so why is the Elaim no good? What kind of strange formulation is that? You have to have potential. You don't have to have practically. Where do we ever find such an idea? So says Rebbeinu Tam, where do we find that idea? We find it. There's precedent for this idea in Halacha. There's a sugya in Maseches Menachos. Kidyamidim in Menachos, Kol She'en Ro'el Bila. It's a principle when a person brings the korban mincha. A person wants to bring a flour offering, so you have to bring a flour offering together with oil, belula b'shemen. We say many, many times in the Chumash, belula b'shemen. So the Gemara has two halachas about that belila b'shemen. The Gemara says that you don't really have to do it. If you were lazy and you brought the flour and you brought the oil, but you forgot to mix the two together, no, the korban's still kosher. If you have it, the korban's still kosher. But what if you had a korban mincha of so much flour and so little oil, and even if you wanted to mix the two, you couldn't. If you chose, it wouldn't mix. It would just clump together. It wouldn't mix properly. That's called Ein Roy Labila. And listen to this formulation. Kol ha-ro'oi le-bila ein bila mi-akebispa. As long as you have potential to do bila, then lack of bila is not going to ruin it for you. Kol she'ein ro'oi le-bila, if it's physically impossible, you have 61 of this to one of that, it's just not going to mix properly, then the halacha says, bila mi-akebispa. How do we know that to be true? So Tosfos in Kedushin tries to share Pesukim. He might have explained what the source for this is. This is the famous din called Rabbi Zeira. I'm Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Natan borrowed that concept and says, oh, the same is true here also. Is Dibur B'peh critical for Eidus? The answer is, it depends. If it's Roi L'Dibur, then you don't have to do Dibur. Then you can send your postcard. If it's Ein Roi L'Dibur, then you're in trouble, then the Eidus is going to be Talmud Motelus Min HaTorah. Now, it's a very, very strange kind of application. Somehow, intuitively, that idea of Bila, it's almost like mitzvahs. Like, this is not mitzvahs. Is the Eidus kosher, not kosher? It's a very, very strange kind of application. Rabbi Natan says, nice Rabbi Natan held this shita. So comes the re.
But that only answers the second scenario. Meaning, in the case of the Ulay, whether he has the ability or not, it's not like he's able.
I mean,
that's
going to
be the equivalent of the flour and the wire mixing together
by themselves. No, in both cases, both the Elam and the Fel does remember of both examples of Ein Roi L'Bila. Neither one of these guys could actually tell the story on his own. The Elam because he can't physically speak, the other guy because he has a memory lapse. But the bottom line is they cannot do the Eidus B'Peh. Therefore, Eidus B'Ksav is not acceptable. In contrast, the guy was out of town and just too lazy to come in and come speak. For him, we'll let him send the postcard. That's the Yisod of Rabbi Natan. So the Re now gets himself into a little bit of a family of politics over here, because notwithstanding what Rabbi Natan said, the Elta Zeta, his grandfather, is already the Re's great-grandfather. This is the Re's mother's father, the Rashi. So comes the Re and says, wait a second. He said, I remember when I used to learn Chumash with my great-grandfather, says the Re. In Perish and Chumash, it's very rare that Tosfos quotes Rashi's Perish and Chumash in the Gemara, but here they quote Mamash Rashi's. But Tosfos also learned Chumash and Rashi. So Pirish Rashi, Apishnai made in Prat Shle Yishach. So Rashi says, no pun intended, Pemal, Rashi says explicitly, says, Apishnai made him teaches me that Adam can send picture postcards to Beit Din. Finish, end of discussion. So it was a nice triple tar from Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi's whole thing is not true. According to Rashi, there's an outright psul under all circumstances. You cannot be made Aidei Ksav. Finished, end of discussion. So this machlokes is Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Whether we take this rule of Piyav Lo B'Ksav and run with it and extend it to any and every scenario, or whether it's limited only to cases where a person can't speak. So this gets the wheels turning in terms of our original question. What is a shtar? How does a shtar pass the test of Min HaTorah? It is clear as day from Kindav Gimel that when you walk into the basin with a shtar, the shtar says that Reuven borrowed $1,000 from me, Min HaTorah, that shtar is good to go. And when Reuven screams it's a forgery, we throw him out. That was a later basis. That's not a topic right now. Min HaTorah, Amar Ishlokish, Eidem HaChasum, Mal Ashtar, Nasim, Chadish, Nekor, Tzvim, Eidem. I don't understand. How does that work? The ABCs are Shtaros. How does it work? It's the classic with P.M. Olympic Sokol. What in the world does the Ishlokish, what in the world does the Gemara get in that Gimel mean? That Ishtar works as an Eidus Min HaTorah? It's absolutely not an Eidus Min HaTorah. It's an Eidus Miksav, which is disqualified Min HaTorah. Let's think this through. Could Rashi, Tosfos, what would Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam say about this? So according to Rashi, there is no way out. According to Rashi, it is impossible, inconceivable to have any Hagodas Eidus Kihuzeh based on Iksav. So according to Rashi, the game is over. We are in a problem, and we have to search elsewhere for an answer. According to Rabbeinu Tam, could we solve the problem? Maybe we can argue as follows. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not an absolute ironclad statement that Iksav is no good. Sav is no good, but the Gavra is no good. Maybe the Shtar, Hachabayaskin, two Edom signed in the Shtar. Who said the Edom are not Ruim Lekach to be made right now? I signed the Shtar last week. I could theoretically come in and testify. I don't want to bother. I'm out of town. I'm in a business meeting. I'm not interested in coming to Bezit, but I could come to Bezit. So maybe, according to a bit of time, the Edos of the Shtar is presupposing that the Edom could come in. And since the Edom could come in, the Ru'uyim Lahakid, once the Ru'uyim Lahakid is there, then the halacha of Kol Haroi Labila kicks in, etc. That would be a great answer, except that it's probably not right. because comes the Nesivus and says, how could you say such a thing? If someone wanted to say such a text, how could you say such a thing? It says the Nesivus. The Gemara says, later on, Mesechus Gittin, two Edom sign a star, and then the Edom die. The Edom are no longer alive. So what do? No problem. You bring the star into Beis Din. The Natori, you know, the Nikiyim Shtaros. The Natori just bring it to Beis Din. Amrish Lachish, Edom Achazim, the Edom are dead. I think there's a phrase, dead men tell no tales. I think that's right. A person is dead, it's hard to conceive of somebody who's Eino Roi LaEdus more than that. And therefore, comes into Stevenson and says, when the person is no longer alive and still the shtar is good, the shtar that he signed 30 years ago is still acceptable and based in the Torah. That undermines the entire theory of Rabbi Natan as well. So Rabbi Natan, we thought Rabbi Natan was in a better position than Rashi. Slightly better, but not too much, not good enough for us. Bein l'Rashi, bein Rabbi Natan, there is something going on here behind the scenes. There is something about this Eidus B'Shtar that is working in HaTorah, even though Eidus B'Ksav just doesn't work. What is the missing piece? There is something going on here. There is some missing piece of this puzzle. How a Shtar functions in HaTorah in light of the fact that people of B'Ksav should knock it out of the box. So Rashi actually asked this question. I don't know if I put it on this Mamakomus. Usually when, okay, it is. It's on the 10th of the Mamakomus. Jump that a little bit. Rashi, on that Gemara, and I'm getting out of Kedaka B'Kodesh, very often Rashi will anticipate a question, and he'll put in one or two words. He does this in Chumash, does it in Gemara. He'll just add on one nuance to the discussion, and we'll blow the question out of the water. So Rashi on the spot in the 10th of the Ram comes jumping ahead, below peak savam, you're eating the vase, and you're not allowed to come and be made. We talk like Sab. The Elaim, that's the case. The Elaim, out of the question. No way are we going to let Elaim come and start writing stories on the board. Rashi asked the question, the low Dovil Ishtar. Rashi says, that's not a star. That's not the same as a star. What's a star? Shechasmu biyomo. A star means that. The story happened right now. Reuven sold the field to Shimon. Reuven lent $1,000 to Shimon. So we bring witnesses to write up the facts of the story. So it should be documented so that in 10 years from now, we'll have proof of what happened. Says Rashi, that's not what's going on in an Elaim. An Elaim is coming to Beis Din 6 months later. And we say to him, please testify. Guy points out, I can't. Brings a doctor, I can't speak. So they says, all right, you can't speak. Let's pull out the piece of paper and start writing us a story. So says Rashi, that's Mipir of Lopik Savam. Why is that? What's the difference? Says Rashi, Tehu Orchim Ochi. Writing a shtar on the spot, what the testimony is, and filing it for the Beis Din at a later date, that's normal. Everybody does that. That's not Gibbikach. That's the normal way Masa Matan in the world. He said, having two Edom witness something and then telling them, come back in 6 months to testify. In 6 months, they tell you they can't talk, so let us write. That's love, Danke Bekach. Well, it's the guy sees the Reuven break Shimon's window, and instead of coming to Beis Din now, he comes 30 years from now, and he says, I don't remember the story. Let me read it out of my diary. And I says, that's not normal. That's not Derech Edus. Shtar is called Derech Edus. What did Rashi just tell us? A very, very profound statement. Rashi just told us that when the Torah says "Mipiyav lo piksavam," savam is no good. Yesh lacho. We could raise a chakir. What's the nature of that halacha? Is this just the gezer sechos biyama? The definition of edus means mouth, not pen. That is go argue with the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah. That's what the Torah Kedosh means. That's what Tosh Mapek explains to us. Te v'lo ksav. Benito. End of discussion. Oh, no, it's not how Locha Tev looks out. This is part of the general idea that permeates all of Torah. The Torah was given according to normal categories of boundaries. Moshe Vodavidov. The Torah says, you're not allowed to do a Malach on Shabbos. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So a guy goes in and he carries, instead of holding it in his hand, he sticks it inside his shoe when he starts walking around with the item. That is not called carrying Minatorah. That's not called carrying Minatorah. The Torah speaks to normal scenarios. The Torah says, you're not allowed to eat chazer. Instead of eating a normal chazer, the guy takes the chazer and he ruins the chazer and he eats it, puts it in a tube and he swallows it. So the halacha is, you did not eat chazer in the Torah. Whether it's mutter b'drabanan or not, it's a different story. In the Torah, you didn't eat chazer. What? The Torah says, don't eat. The word eat has a specific halachic connotation. Means going, sitting down, taking a piece of chazer, and swallowing it. That's called achila. you took a piece of chazer and you wrapped it up in a, and you put it into a feeding tube or something. That's not called achilas chazer return. So maybe that's what the Torah is saying here also. VPM, the normal derech ha'edus is ba'al peh. If and when you do edus in an abnormal fashion, such as you wrote down a story you don't remember 30 years later, or you're an elam and the only way for you to tell us a story is to draw pictures on the board, those are out of bounds. Those are out of the normal scenarios of edus. That's what the Torah disqualifies. A shtar? I borrowed $100 and I saw the document? Well, who doesn't do that? No one's been to a wedding? You never heard ksuba? Those are normal. Whenever there's a normal shtar written, the normal swing of things, that's okay. So with one phrase, Orchil Hochi, Rashi changed the entire mindset of what shtaros are. Shtaros are a form of an edus b'chsav that is acceptable because it's normal. So according to Rashi, that is the engine that's driving shtaros, the fact that it's a normal presentation of edus. Most of the Rishonim did not accept Rashi, because most of the Rishonim held that the people of Ksav would be normal. It's a gzeirus ha-kosum, go yes, it's a kashal ha-mais, it's a kodesh baruch hu's Torah, repeal lo b'ksavim. And therefore, you have to do more than that. You have to explain better than that. You can't just say, oh, it's normal, therefore it's okay. That's not going to help. You have to explain conceptually why Ishtar is different. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem on Friday, we'll try to see the different approach to Rishonim conceptually, those Rishonim who didn't want to go down Rashi's path.